ハリヒトサハナバガトサハナブナトサハヴィヤンカラバガハイテジャスヴィナバディタマストマヴィヴィシャバCaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
If shyness is a quality that controls the men, is there a quality that controls the women?
The shyness controls the women.
As well?
Yeah.
Everyone.
I mean, the point is it's the shyness controls the women, but it is appreciated and respected by the men. Okay. See, the difficulty is there's an anxiety that if I'm controlled, then I lose some position. But here, the shyness is the control, and it creates the position. Mm-hmm.See, that's what's so nice about the Vedic system. Right? The modern system is what creates control. How the women control things is how they also lose their respect. You know, so the whole thing is the women are getting more outward, and the men are respecting them less, so they become more and more just to try to counteract that. You know what I'm saying? Because you have to have a balance. The whole point is social things nothing works unless there's a balance.Right, so the difficulty comes is by not using the Vedic system, then use something that they'll think will work. But that's the problem with the modern. They think whatever they're doing will solve all the problems, and it hasn't. I mean, it's been, you know, 3,000 years of modern history, and, you know, they've never really ever solved the problem. You know, they do it, and then it comes back again.Does that make sense? It's always a difficulty. Does that make sense? Because the shyness is there means that there's it's perfectly designed because it allows for being, careful about doing something, but it's still at the same time it allows one to still be the focus to still be on oneself. You know what I'm saying? Lack of confidence, then the focus is not on yourself. Right? So there isn't that strength. Right? But and so because of that, you won't do something. But here it's not that you couldn't do, but you just are shy, you just feel, you're just careful about doing things. Right? Not that one couldn't, but one's careful about. So the emotions stop. It's not that you don't have the skill. Lack of confidence generally means you think you don't have the skill. Right? So it's a perfect blend. So you can be the center of attention, but the center of attention on a sattvic ground in which the interaction will have a proper basis of respect.You know what I'm saying? You know, as Prabhupada says, the half-dressed ladies going out, nobody respects them. Everybody likes. You know what I'm saying? It's just like everybody likes. But the point is nobody respects. You know what I'm saying? Like that. It just doesn't happen. Yes?
What do you mean by control? Do you mean it controls the people around or the person that's being shy?
Yes.
Which one?
Yes.
Okay.
You understand? If the girl is shy, how can anybody how can anybody try to deal with her improperly? And if she's shy, how will she deal improperly?
So both.
Yes. The penny is not dropping here.
No, it is, but I just think that the people around...
No. Thinking, it means I just think that's not a value. You have a question, or you have observed, right?
I've observed, and my question is that the people around have to respect shyness, and people don't always respect that.
You don't go into those places. Okay. You know, just like you don't go into dark alleys that you don't know. Right? Because people don't generally respect you properly there.
I guess I'm just now bringing this back to that conversation that we had about distribution. Like, you never know who you're going to meet on the street. They might not.
Yeah, but you can see who's coming. There's a whole bunch of people coming. And then you choose which one you're going to deal with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But why doesn't that work?
Because you can't always tell by what someone looks like.
But that's what practice is for. If you're out on the street so many hours a day, you know, so many days a week, so many weeks of the year, after a while you figure it out. Basically, you'll figure out after a while there's about, you know, 7 to 9 groups of people. Right? They have detail within that, but, you know, you have this real nice spaced out guy, you have the real clever, not so smart guy, you have you have all these different kinds of people. And so then you just know how to do. That's how the anybody works. You know what I'm saying? The intelligence after a while sees that kind of look, the way they walk, the way they dress, the way they deal, then they have this kind of a personality. It's just a matter of using the intelligence and discriminating. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? That's how anybody works. If you have to work with people, then they learn how you deal with the different kinds of people. Like that. You know what I'm saying? So like that, then you make adjustments.
I can just imagine that if you do go about it that way, if you do approach it in a shy way.
But shy doesn't, see, the thing is, do you understand what shyness is? Do you understand the definition? Shyness is power. Shyness is that sweeper lady got all the men to stand up. She didn't say anything. It's powerful. So you have to know how to use power, right? Fire means power. You have to learn how to control it and direct it. Girls nowadays, it's odd. So, you know, and then they wonder why sometimes they get bad reactions or people deal with them badly. Because it's just on everywhere. You know, if I start a fire in the house and it's not controlled like it's in the stove, you know, then what happens? It makes trouble. And then the whole thing, well, I didn't mean to make trouble. So what? You know, at what point is there responsibility? At what point do we claim maturity or to be an adult? If we accept, yes, we're still immature and a kid, then you can say, well, I didn't mean to do that. It wasn't like that. Then you can say that. But then you don't get the respect of an adult. You know what I'm saying? You can't have your cake, eat it, sell it, and make profit, you know, how you say, embalm it, you know, and keep it for 2,000 years so that, you know, the anthropologists in the future will, you know that you existed. You can't do all that. That's the impossible. It says, children, women, kings, you know, rich people, and insane people, they want the impossible. And they actually sincerely think it can happen. But the point is it doesn't. So there's a point. You do A, you get the reaction of A. You do B, you get the reaction of B. You can't say, well, I'll do A and I'll get Z. You know what I'm saying? So at one point, you have to learn that you have to figure out how to make it work. The whole point is you don't want people insulting you. You know what I'm saying? As a woman, they may insult you as a devotee or this or that, or, you know, just being, you know, some variety of something different than them. That's another thing. So you have to learn what you do to maintain that respect. Because you're in control of that. Not the others. They will deal with you how you deal with them. It's simple. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is you have to be able to accommodate that there's greater cultural understandings and things than you may have experience of. And just because you haven't experienced it and your experiences may be bad doesn't mean that there's not a correct way of doing it. The reason you have bad experiences is because it's been done badly. Do you understand? So we have to learn that we correct. That's what the Bhagavatam is for. Right? Otherwise, why would Sukadev or Bhishma Dev, these are liberated personalities who are absorbed in transcendental rasa, why would they bother mentioning about how the women were behaving? It doesn't matter to them. You know what I'm saying? They're not like, you know, pro-Vedic, you know, machissimo, like that. What do you call it? No, we've already said that. And it means that they don't like women.
Chauvinist?
No, chauvinist, but there's another one. Misogynist, yes. Yeah. The macho, chauvinistic, misogynist. Okay? You understand? So this idea that's... It means we have to get around this, because the point is the men are behaving badly, the women just have to make them behave properly. But instead, the women behave improperly, so it just makes it worse. So that's why without training, it doesn't work. It doesn't matter what modern says. It doesn't matter what is popular. It doesn't matter what... you know, people say should work. It sold a magazine. That's all it did. It's not that it ever worked. The person who wrote the article has not necessarily ever been successful in making it work. If they were, there's a good chance they wouldn't have written the article. Right? You have a bunch of so-called intellectual, so-called skilled people that know some variety of communication. And then they got an opinion. And then the world has to hear about it. And if you go and check, 99.9% of the place, people on the planet couldn't care less. Because they don't buy that magazine anyway. You know what I'm saying? How many people buy that particular magazine? How many people buy Cosmos? You know what I'm saying? The Middle East, do they buy Cosmos?
No.
What about China? What about South America? What about in Africa? What about the Inuits? Right? You know what I'm saying? Who buys it? There's a slight, small, thin range of people. You could draw a line going LA, Chicago, New York, going over London, you know, a few places like that. And that's about it. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like that with everything. And so in a very small, tight group, and so that group that you can talk like that and act like that and people respond that it's good, then you stay in that group. And how many friends do you have? Any one of these so-called modern, politically correct, you know, upbeat ladies, how many friends do they have? Associates, a few more. Friends, good chance it's about zero. Maximum one. Right? Until she finds, you know, the love of her life, and then she's gone. And we're talking here straight. We're not just, you know, we're talking reality here. If somebody actually in that kind of circle, that superficial circle, has any friends, real friends, I would hardly doubt it. But those people that follow these things, they got plenty of friends. Like the other day, we were just... bumped into this group in the temple, right? Vagishmashai's relatives. So there's about 15, 20 of them, right? And so then we bump into them and say, wow, you know, a lot of relatives here. No, it says, no, these are just the really, really close main ones. You know, like that. And I says, oh, you mean there's like a 50 or 60? The guy looked at it, no, 400. They have 400 family members that consider themselves family and they get together. 400. Name me one cracker that has a family like that. Just name me one. They don't exist. That's why they're called gringos. Gringo means the guys that don't know how to interact. It doesn't mean white. It means people who don't know how to relate as people. That's what gringo means. So everybody has a name for white men. Why? Because they don't fit in socially with anybody else. And at the same time, they think that they got the worldview and they are, you know, everything has to revolve around them. It's sad. And they're becoming the smaller and smaller group. That's not sad. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be able to accept that what is being said here is how it works. Then trying to figure out how to apply that, that should be the question. But if we're going to go on and on and on about, you know, I don't, you know, how does this, you know, I haven't had the experience. It's like, so what? Who cares? The point is that we're here to learn what is the standard, because the modes of nature give us, throw a whole lot of wide range of things. You know, it's like, who's had a great upbringing? You know, first of all, who has two parents? You know, who knows their two parents? Whose two parents are still around? They're not divorced. Who had brothers and sisters that they didn't hate? You know what I'm saying? You know, and this is, we're just talking the immediate family. Then you got the relatives. You know what I'm saying? Who can even start? Who has a normal functioning social life? You know? So the whole point is that why are we so attached that this is standard? It's not working for anybody. Anybody who has any solid social life is following these rules to some degree. Not necessarily coming from the Vedic, but coming from their own tradition. Does that make sense? Like that. So they all have it. It's standard. Like in the Latin society, if a girl goes half-dressed, the men feel insulted. It's just uncultured. Why would you do that? Why would a girl be able to be half-dressed in front of you unless she didn't respect you at all? If she respected you, she would feel shy. She wouldn't do that. So therefore, the men get insulted, actually, if they dress like that. You understand? And Latins are a huge population. Huge. Probably at least, I would think, 2-3 times the Anglo-Saxons. At least. And even what we count as the Anglo-Saxons, most of them are something else. Probably it's at least 10 times. You know what I'm saying? So you have these things in society. And these are just standard. And these are people who like to be with women. You know, these are the guys where the term machismo comes from. And they get insulted if the woman doesn't dress properly. Because it actually means that. Right? It means the girl, she's just met the boy, that she always dresses well. But once it's like a good, solid relationship, then she starts to dress, you know, in the sweatpants and the t-shirt. Because she's confident in the relationship. But that means the respect has gone down. Which is all right if it's replaced with intimacy. But when there's no intimacy, there's no knowledge of the relationship, and there's no respect, then what's the meaning? So that's why the shyness is there. Learn how to use it. Figure it out. It's not a matter of, well, I don't know what is feminine or this, that. Figure it out. Right? You got a brain. Women are 4 times more clever than the men, so figure it out. Don't just go on, whoa, this, whoa, that. No, it's not about yourself and, oh, this. It's about, okay, this is what I got to do. Figure it out. Observe. Look around. Go in the temple. Watch the ladies. See how they get it done. Right? The ones that don't do it, don't bother with those. Look for the ones that do it, even if there's only one. Don't worry about the rest. Who cares? because nobody else does. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Yes? Okay, thank you. Okay. At that time, Arjuna, the great warrior and conqueror of sleep, footnote 15, one of Arjuna's names, Gudakesha, has the following meanings. One whose hair forms matted locks. Two, one who has conquered sleep. And three, the expert warrior. We see while they were in the forest, then he had all three. Like that. Okay. At that time, Arjuna, the great warrior and conqueror of sleep, who is the intimate friend of the most beloved Supreme Lord, took up an umbrella which had a handle of jewels and was embroidered with lace and pearls. Uddhava and Satyaki began to fan the Lord with decorated fans. And the Lord, as the master of Madhu, seated on scattered flowers, commanded them along the road. Here and there were heard the benedictions being paid to Krishna, which were neither befitting nor unbefitting, because they were all for the Absolute, who was now playing the part of a human being. Footnote 16. In his commentary on this verse, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur resolves the seeming contradiction, because it says befitting and not befitting. Right? The blessings are described as satya, or true, because Krishna never deviates from those descriptions. But the blessings are both inappropriate and appropriate. From the point of view of the Lord's powers, blessings such as be happy are inappropriate for one who is without material qualities, nirgunasya, and full of spiritual bliss. Right? From the point of view of sweetness, the same blessings are appropriate for the Lord who has spiritual qualities, such as being controlled by the devotee's prema and being devoted to Brahmins. So you have these elements. How does the jiva give a blessing to God, who is the source of all auspiciousness? Right? So on the platform of fact, it's not necessary. The point is that auspiciousness is him, so in that way it's correct. You know, it means truth. But in the way of position, it's not. Yes. But in the way of relationship or rasa, then again it is. Right? You understand? So that's the whole point. It has these both. So it's just pointing out this. Not because it's a problem, because it's just it's fun, it's interesting. The words are appropriate because the Lord's words are applied. I'm always happy with your blessings, which describe his qualities, which should not be false. As well, since Krishna is both the Vishaya and the Ashraya of Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya rasas, he is actually filled with spiritual qualities of happiness and distress arising from meeting and separating from his devotees. Because in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, then there's always this dynamic. Does that make sense? Because in Shanta, there's not a... It means there is no Ashray, Vishay really so much here. It means you can call it, but it's not dynamic. So he has this also. But ultimately, he's the Vishay. It's all being done for his enjoyment. Right? But he also has love for his devotees. So he's the ashray of that love for the devotees. But he's only reciprocating according to the devotees, not mood of ashray. Right? That makes sense. Yeah. So all these things about Krishna being the absolute and the source, everything is correct at the same time as everything's not. Appropriate. It's all correct. Yeah. Absorbed in the thought of the transcendental qualities of the Lord, who is glorified in select poetry, the ladies on the roofs of all the houses of Hastinapur began to talk of him. This talk was more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas. Because the hymns of the Vedas, as we see, are always indirect. They talk about him, or is the great, is this and that. But this was personal, about him as a person, a relationship to persons. Right? So that's more attractive than the Vedas. 17 to 20. In his purport to 110.20, Srila Prabhupada explains why the words of the ladies were more attractive than the Vedic mantras. The ladies, who are all absorbed in the thought and actions of the Lord, develop the consciousness of Vedic wisdom by the grace of the Lord. And therefore, although such ladies might not have been very learned scholars of Sanskrit or otherwise, still whatever they spoke was more attractive than the Vedic hymns. The Vedic hymns and the Upanishads are sometimes indirectly directed to the Supreme Lord, but the talks of the ladies were directly spoken of the Lord, and thus they are more pleasing to the heart. The ladies' talks appeared to be more valuable than the learned Brahmanas' benedictions, right? Because it mentioned, because they're mentioned last here, because it mentions all the benedictions by the Brahmanas and that, which may, you know, were both appropriate and inappropriate. But then it mentions that the talks of the ladies, that was even more attractive than the Veda, right? So that means more attractive than what the Brahmanas would be speaking about. Right? So here also, again, we see is that the Lord, because of that affection, then... because of that affection, then has given them the mercy of having that knowledge or having those qualities, so they can speak all these things. Right? It means the Vedas are there to understand about the Lord, their understanding about the Lord. And without knowing all the Sanskrit and the grammar and all these technical points, they can give very, very fine points in relationship about the Lord by the Lord's mercy. Does that make sense? In other words, one can have that devotional attitude without necessarily having a particular skill that got you there by the Lord's mercy. Right? But it's expressed through talking. They're saying it nicely, they're saying it wonderfully, but it's not coming from the gyan of academia.
It's from the attitude.
Yes, it's from the attitude. Yes.
But it seems that the ladies, they have understood the rule of the Veda.
Yes, they understood the rule. But that's by Krishna's grace, because it's not specifically that they were necessarily looking for the rule of the Veda. They were just attracted by Krishna. And because of that, then Krishna is giving his mercy and reciprocating that. So that's why we use the Vedic culture as the medium, but it's not about the Vedic culture. It's about the expression of devotion. So the Vedic culture is the perfect culture to express that devotion. It's the natural, because it being in goodness, it's very easy to express pure goodness. Right? In other words, goodness is there, but we still talk about naishkarma. Because goodness means that it's mixed, so it can still have passion or ignorance. So giving with knowledge, with detachment, okay, so what has that done? Removed passion and ignorance. You know, with knowledge, so that's the positive side of the goodness. But it's being done remembering Krishna for Krishna. That's the pure goodness. Okay, so that's always the recommendation. So it's easier to start from there, because as we see here, it's that because the ladies are working with the shrine, they're up on the roof and that they're being noticed and glorified here. Do you hear any mention of the society girls in the front here? No, only when the Lord comes and is received. But otherwise, when it comes to that show of devotion, then it's not, they're not the ones that are brought out. Right? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, then we see with Kubja, it's mixed. Like that. So that shyness is the natural element. Because the point is the more feminine is the girl, the more masculine will be the boy. The more masculine is the girl, the more feminine will be the boy. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just the way it works. So it's a balance. It'll always be balanced. You know what I'm saying? So that's why one has to be very, very careful in these. Yes.
Krishna being all attractive, it appears that some jivas are like really attracted to him and some are not. Kind of not.
Means all are attracted, but whether they are attracted on the transcendental platform or an illusion. You know, as it came up, I think it was 2 years ago in the analysis of Gita, when Prabhupada was giving in the purport, Gita purport, then he's mentioning that all living entities are attracted by Krishna. Right? All of them are God conscious, but they don't know they're God conscious. Right? So anything that you find attractive in the world, that attractiveness is actually Krishna. But we attribute it to the mundane form or activity that is associated with. So everybody, so anybody who's attracted, it means attraction by anything, that's still Krishna. You know, it's just like he's the cheater of the cheats, so he's like the nerdness of the nerds, or he's the you know the strength of the strong, you know, all these different things. He's actually what everybody's looking for. You know, something, the newness of something, the shyness of something. I mean, the shininess of something. You know, all these different things, that's Krishna. It's not something else. So everybody's attracted by Krishna. But there isn't a living entity who's not. But due to their impurity, they get more and more in the engrossed bodily. All right? And then even in bodily, those are more pious and those are more sinful. Right? So sinful means the forms through which they're attracted are less and less according to the Shastric standard. The Shastric standard, you're dealing with a medium of the mode of goodness. And so then from there to switch that to pure goodness is easy. But because of our being distracted by the external energy, we tend to be distracted by the forms of goodness and all that. So then we think because we're doing these things are superior, I know some rituals, or I behave better, or I'm more moral, you know, all these different things, and then we get distracted. We miss the point. Is that okay? Yeah. Now, this is by the grace, by Bhakti Sukriti, you know, by the grace of the association of the devotees, and then applying that, then getting the mercy of the Lord, then that attraction is directly towards Krishna. Like that. So that's what before Prabhupada was saying. We're all being given the opportunity to achieve that. Means any jiva can achieve that. It's not that it's, oh, I can't, I'm too sinful. That doesn't apply, because then we're saying it's my sin or lack of sin that makes things work. Because I'm so sinful I can't be devotional. So if I was pious, that would make me devotional. You know, bhakti is separate from all this. It's simply you have that desire. That's why the acharyas say, I'm unqualified, I'm sinful, so therefore I don't have a right to want, you know, that pure devotion, but still, you know, we want it anyway. You know, we're shameless. We want it anyway. So that's the whole point. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like how you say the fifth grade boy, you know, throws the rock at the girl, right? And she gets hurt, she's upset, she's grumpy and all this, right? And that's what's going on in the playground. But when on the side, when she's talking to her friends, this guy likes me, you know? Because he threw the rock at me, he didn't throw it at someone else. You understand? So that's what, yeah. Okay. Didn't want to bring back memories. Thinking of all the rocks.
All the rocks.
Really? She liked them. Yes. Therefore, because it's opposite, because the point is contrary and elusive, therefore the shyness, even though it seems it's one way, it's actually the other way. That's the whole point of all these things. Okay. Verses 21 to 30. The prayers of the ladies of Hastinapura. In verses 21 to 25, the ladies appreciate their fortune in seeing the Lord and Creator of the universe, Krishna, who is usually only seen by great pure devotees. Then, in verses 26 to 30, they describe the glories of the land in which Krishna descends, as well as the great fortune of the wives of Krishna, who so intimately relate with him. The lady said, "Here he is, the original personality of Godhead, as we definitely remember him. He alone existed before the manifested creation of the modes of nature, and in him only, because he is the Supreme Lord, all living beings merge as if sleeping at night. Their energy suspended." Right? So this is the Vedic standard of less intelligence. You understand? You know, so throw some grammar on top of that, then you have more intelligence. You understand?
Were they saying it in Sanskrit?
Yeah. But they talk Sanskrit. It's not that they know, you know, it's just like people speak English. It's not that they know the grammar at all. You know, it's just they speak. You know, so they speak Sanskrit. But the point is here, this is their prayers. Right? Means if you look at it, they're going through the essence of the philosophies. Now the technical points, maybe or maybe not, they know, but they know all this, and then they're just saying this because they're just supposed to. Right? Mm-hmm. The personality of Godhead, again, desiring to give names and forms to his parts and parcels, the living being, entities, place him under the guidance of material nature, right? Because he was there before, and these are supreme beings merge, right? So then they expand the energies, and then he wants to give names and forms. Right, because that gives that third point, that vishay, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Why would they mention that at this moment that he's leaving?
They're just talking about his greatness. This is Dwarka, right? So Dwarka means is that the element of Vaikuntha at the same time it has that sweetness of Goloka. So it's that mix of the two, right? Vaikuntha starts here. Right? And then as it goes out, it gets more and more formal. Right? So then here it's the least formal. But I mean, it has the formalities, but it has the maximum amount of rasas and the maximum manifestation within the Vaikuntha. Right? Then it becomes the rasas become more restricted. That means what's available in Ayodhya. But that sweetness is still, still that element is there, but the formality starts to become more. Mm-hmm. Right? There's only one wife, right? There's 16,108 in Dwarka, right? Then when you go out from there, then you go into Vaikuntha, then there's just God and his consort. Right? So then everybody will be talking like this, but they won't bring out the sweeter side. Does that make sense? By his own potency, material nature is empowered to recreate. Right? That's the second potency. Here is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose transcendental form is experienced by the great devotees, who are completely cleansed in material consciousness by dint of rigid devotional service and full control of life and senses. And that is the only way to purify existence. Oh, dear friends, here is that very Personality of Godhead, whose attractive and confidential pastimes are described in the confidential parts the Vedic literature by his great devotees. It is he only who creates, maintains, and annihilates the material world, and yet remains unaffected. Whenever there are kings and administrators living like animals in the lowest form of existence, the Lord in his transcendental form manifests his supreme power. The truth positive shows special mercy to the faithful, performs wonderful activities, and manifests various transcendental forms as is necessary in different periods and ages. So are you able to catch here that feminine quality? Right? Means if there's a lot of descriptive elements, right? It's always going back to the person. Right? Means in other words, the person of Godhead, he is mentioned much more often than, let's say, in other prayers by the sages and all that. Means it'll always come back, but they'll say a lot more philosophical points. But here we see is that it's always coming back to him much quicker. And they're saying the philosophy very succinctly, mm-hmm. and it has a greater range of variety in a shorter time. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's all symptomatic of the feminine nature. Yes. Right? So it's not that it changes. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's a matter of the quality of that.
Yes.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
But wasn't Bhishma's prayers quite similar to that?
Not so much. They were more technical. And they didn't move as quickly. If you read them next to each other, you could see one will be masculine, one will be feminine. Mm-hmm. Like that. It's subtle. That's the whole point, is that the difference between the masculine and the feminine is subtle. Mm-hmm. If one can catch that, then it can work on these much more nice higher levels. Mm-hmm. Right? Or if not, at least then you make it obviously gross. But if you make it all the same, then there's nothing. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense. Yeah. So it's subtle here. So then. How, O supremely glorified, is the dynasty of King Yadu, and how virtuous is the land of Mathura, where the supreme leader of all living beings, the husband of the goddess of fortune, has taken his birth and wandered in his childhood. Undoubtedly, it is wonderful that Dwarka has defeated the glories of the heavenly planets and has enhanced the celebrity of the earth. The inhabitants of Dwarka are always seeing the soul of all living beings, Krishna, in his loving feature. He glances at them and favors them with sweet smiles. Footnote 17. In his purport to 110.27, Srila Prabhupada glorifies the potency of the holy lands like Dwarka, where Krishna performs his pastimes. Any person engaged in the devotional service of the Lord is recommended to live in one of the above mentioned three places, namely Dwarka, Mathura, or Vrindavan, because devotional service in these three places is magnified. Those who go there to follow the principles and terms of instructions imparted in the revealed scriptures surely achieve the same result as obtained during the presence of Lord Sri Krishna. His abode and he himself are identical, and a pure devotee under the guidance of another experienced devotee can obtain all the results, even at present. Right. So, this point is that even at present you can get this, even though it doesn't appear. Right, we go to the abode. We see it's becoming more and more covered. The Prauda Maya that's on top of the dom, then is becoming more and more. Its manifestation is less and less. You could say having your traditional elements. But the point is if one is a pure devotee under the guidance of another experienced devotee. Right? In other words, some more event, then one can appreciate even now the glory of the Dom. Right? It's not that the Prauda Maya makes it harder. Prauda Maya is just there for those who want to be distracted. It's not there because it's supposed to distract you, because it's the Dom. It's only there for those who want to be distracted. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah.
But it is getting more.
Well, you see, it's like, before you had this pleasant, scenic, rural dirt path, this fine, fine, silky, soft, like dust. It's in between dust and sand. Yes. You could go around and see all the nice ancient architecture and the cows and everything like that. And now, you're suddenly rudely awakened by a tractor going about 30 kilometers an hour, pulling a trailer behind it because it's taking dirt for some construction site that's going on. And at the same time, the other way, there's coming some, fat cat, coming from Delhi in his car. Right?
Yes.
Like that. And so you end up having to move out of the way. Not only that, it's asphalt instead of this pleasant, nice sand, so it's very hot.
I agree.
And plexa. And noise.
Yeah, and very noisy. So that's all. But the same point is it's still Vrindavan and you're still walking around. So if you're in that mood, it's still you get the same benefit. You just have to be able to see like that. Or go early in the morning when nobody's out, right? Yes.
And Mayapur Dham opening up like the lotus, that's a different thing?
It's just that because this is the where the Lord performed his pastimes, this is the Dham for the age.
Yes.
So therefore, then it has that element of that. But at some point, it will also close, right? After 10,000 years, yes. It closes.
Get out while you can.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can see what you want. The Dom's always like that. You want to see the one side you see, you want to see the other side you see it. You know what I'm saying? You have the courtyard. You can either sit down and discuss with somebody about Krishna or hear the latest gossip. Whichever you want. It just depends which bench you sit on. That's all. That's the only difference.
Yes. In the holy dam, it is very important to be always the guidance of pure devotee.
That's the whole idea. That's why the point of the purports, right? Because it's it's not that Prabhupada's just given us Bhagavatam, but it's Bhagavatam with the purports. Because then we're under the guidance of this experienced devotee. And then we have other devotees who try to help us understand.
Yes.
What the instructions of the how you say experienced devotee. Therefore, relevant instruction means it's relevant for you. So they try to make it apply to you. Is that something? So like that, with that combination, it works. We want, it's there. Right? You know, this idea is that, well, there's no devotees, or who's advanced, or like, they get bewildered. That's because it's just, you want to be bewildered, so Krishna brings up a situation. Like that. Like being, I mean, you know, newer devotees in the 70s, probably, basically, as many people, practically as many people who joined, that many left. And we're talking about 5 to 10 joining a month. We're not talking about, you know, Bhakta Jose, who's been around for 15 years, been to all 50 temples in America. Every temple president knows him. You know, and somebody comes up, yeah, Jose did this. Oh, he's at your temple now. Okay, yeah, cool, like that.
Good
you
luck
know.
With that.
You know? You understand? We're not talking about that. You know what I'm saying? That's sad when all the temple presidents know the new Bhakta because there isn't any more. Right? That's sad. Right? So the whole point is so many are and so it's not a problem. Oh, so many are leaving. Then you know, so, no, it was just you know it happens. You know, Maya's there, and she's clever.
Be surprised at who stays.
Yeah, be surprised who stays. Yeah. Jose's still around. Hey,
what's he doing, buddy?
Give him credit here. You know. Okay. Was that wrong?
No.
No. Okay. Yeah. I've actually heard it. Temple that was a real conversation. It's funny. Okay. Oh, friends, just think of his wives whose hands he has accepted. How they must have undergone vows, baths, fire sacrifices, and perfect worship of the Lord of the universe to constantly relish how the nectar from his now the nectar from his lips by kissing. The damsels of Brajabhumi would often faint. The interesting thing, Prabhupada then, in his purport, then quotes these things as this is how they got there.
Yes.
Right? He's not just, you know, that wasn't just something they said. They're the authority in this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The damsels of Brajabhumi would often faint just by expecting such favors. Footnote 18. Verses 26 and 28 are Bhagavatam's first introduction of emotions of pure devotional love in the conjugal rasa. According to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sri Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 18, these verses express prema mahima, the glory of rasa, which is attained by pure love of Godhead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary to 110.28, this verse describes the women with Madhurya Rasa. Certainly Krishna was worshipped by vows, bathing and sacrifices by his wives who drink the nectar of his lips constantly. Let us also, not having performed vows or bathing, drink the nectar of his beauty right now. Those wives are much superior to us, even with our millions of good qualities. But they are much inferior to the women of Braja. Those whose minds were absorbed, ashaya, in the sweetness of those lips, fainted in bliss by remembering that sweetness in the morning. Right. So just thinking about it. The other ones, they're getting that nectar, right? And they're expecting it as wives. But here, they're just remembering it. They're fainting. Right. What kind of condition they attain on actually drinking that nectar at night, we do not know. So all we know is that there's so much that they are fainting, thinking about it. So, yeah. In this way, the gopis' extreme bliss arising from the extreme of prema is indicated. Right? So it's appreciated, indicated. Yeah, because you can't. And because already we pointed out that they are far much superior to us. Even with our millions of good quality. Right?
That's
of course.
A very good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. No? Everybody objects it. Yeah. So, you know, what's your qualification? Oh, so many. Yeah. We have millions of great qualities, but still they're superior. And then the gopis then are, you know, so much more than that. That's the whole point. Is that we talk about, yeah, you know, the wives, you know, are in less position than the brajadeva, but we have to know where we are.
Yes.
The problem is the attitude. You say it, it's kind of like, yeah, the brajagopi is here. Yeah, that's the brajagopi. Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, down there. So the whole point is we're all looking at this from up there. Yeah, and then there, and then above that is, you know, like that. So here's where the rasa itself has been brought out. The conjugal concept has already been appreciated by Bhishmadev, right? But the rasa, he was saying their position, the interaction, the abhideya, or their situation. But here, then that prema element is being brought out, right? The children of these ladies are Prajumna, Samba, Amba, etc. Ladies like Rukmini, Satyabhama, and Jambavati were forcibly taken away by him from their Swayamvar ceremonies after he defeated many powerful kings, headed by Shishupal. And other ladies were also forcibly taken away by him after he killed Bhamasura and thousands of his assistants. All these ladies are glorious. Right? So here's the whole point, is this taken away, because we have to understand in this, you know, we're dealing with Kshatriyas. So that expression of power, you come in, there's the rules. Kshatriyas work by rules, right? But there's passion is also very great. So the point is that, okay, if you're just going to go by the rules, then it's you don't know if you're going to win or not. You know what I'm saying? You know, you have hundreds of kings, thousands of kings, right? Yeah. So the more kings, the more qualified, right? So now you have all these hundreds of thousands of kings, then you have one chance in a thousand, basically. Maybe you're a little more qualified on this or that according to what the Swayamvar is. You know, if there's a task, then that might put you up a few notches.
Yes.
But others can also do. Like we see, Duryodhana technically could do. He didn't have the skill, but he had the power. Jarasandha had the power, but not the skill. Right? Karna had both, but not the qualifications. So right there, it wasn't that it was only Arjuna. He already had competition. Right? And Krishna and his crew were not even coming out. That would have been, you know, it wouldn't have been a question. So, therefore, then if the boy really wants, then you have to steal the girl. But at the same time, if you steal the girl, then he has to defeat many powerful kings, right? So, it means, in other words, there are consequences. Right? In other words, you have to be, you know, there's a lot going on here, so that he's willing to take this risk for the girl, that's going to be especially appreciated by her and the other ladies. You understand? So it's, in other words, that dynamic of interaction that is so important here. Right? These ladies have not brought up anything about wealth, you know, social position, any of those things.
Oh, that's so interesting.
You understand? They've only brought up about rasa. Nowadays we only bring up about those things because where's the rasa? You know, so you got to talk about something, right? You know, it's got to be valuable, you know, like that. Here, killed Bhamasura and thousands of his assistants. So it's not that you could say, okay, one Swayamvar, one girl, right? So the eight main ones then were, you know, one girl, one Swayamvar, you know, and then the fighting with all those kings. But with Bhamasura, there's 16,000. But he killed Bhamasura, who's a big demon, right? No one else could defeat him. And thousands of his assistants, right? So therefore then, you know, each girl gets that glory, you know? It's not, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't that it was the same situation. It was even a greater situation. There's great more girls, you know, so that was a war, right? The other was, you know, the you know, some serious skirmishing, you know, like that, depending upon who was upset, you know, like that. But here there was an actual war. So then each of those 16,000, it still remains glorious for them. You know, can't say, well, yeah, but it wasn't like Rukmini or that. You know, you just were, you know, part of the crew, you know, the group. You understand? So it all has to work out nicely. So Krishna takes care of these things. All these ladies are glorious. All these women auspiciously glorified their lives despite their being without individuality and without purity. Right? Because they auspiciously glorified the lives because they surrendered to the Lord. So that's the whole thing, is about this relationship with the Lord. But being without individuality and without purity, because what's their position? They're just one of 16,000. And they've been staying at this person's house. So they're not considered pure. Their husband, the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, never left them alone at home. Right? So here it is that they've been taken away and are, you know, but he always is taking care of them. Yes?
Is there rasa, dasya rasa, or is it mixed? Or the damsels here of Dwarka, they're not in Madhurya rasa, but...
No, it can be Madhurya rasa. Okay. No, it's just, all it is that there's the element of majesty.
Yes.
You have this combination where majesty and sweetness combine.
Mixed with dasya?
No, it's just majesty.
It's just okay.
It's not saying that, you know, about his service. We're just talking about... All they're doing is talking about how nice Krishna is, but he happens to be the personality of Godhead. They know that.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. They see him that way.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then they appreciate the rasa he's having with the devotees. That's the pure devotee. That's what's the point that's being brought out. The pure devotees appreciate the rasa.
Yeah.
Like that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like when we have questions. See, they're not worried about where they are, what facility they have, what position in society. None of that, right? It's all about rasa. Okay? So the point is because rasa goes beyond all that. So the point is that if the gopis are having conjugal rasa with Krishna, and it's on the platform of rasa, does it matter where it is? You understand? But if you notice, our questions are always... You know, Goloka, Gokul, you know, what about this, that, and this position, that, you understand? It's not about rasa. It's about the location. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference. So that's why we're associating with such devotees, because we've heard philosophy, but now we're hearing about pure devotion and the attitude of the pure devotee. Right? Gita shows us that pure devotion is what you should be looking for. But now it's showing us what is that pure devotion that the pure devotees have. Right? That's what's special and unique. Yes?
Yes?
Can we say that because we feel insecure in our position and we can't think about rasa at all, or very minimal?
Can be. Yeah. Well, insecure about our position as the controller and enjoyer.
Because it appears that those, you know, associates of the Lord, they are secure in their own position.
Because they see themselves as servants, so there's no fear. Insecurity comes from fear. Fear comes from not seeing our relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense? That's why it's recommended to become fearless. You know, a symptom is you're not bothered by what's around you.
Yeah.
You know, but the actual point is that fearless means you see yourself as servant of the Lord. Then there's nothing to fear, because He'll take care. And this body isn't you anyway. You know, so there's no loss.
Mm-hmm.
Is that yeah. Does that answer the whole thing?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then here, he always pleased their hearts by making valuable presentations. So it wasn't about, wow, he gives great gifts. It's about he pleased their hearts by making valuable. Right? So valuable means that it took effort. Right? So that's the whole point, is it's the effort that's there. It's not actually the thing. It's the effort that goes with it. As we mentioned, I don't know, did we mention here? I don't know, because it's been... So is that you have the element that, let's say a valuable, let's say something is given to the man, let's say like a pen or something, and that similar kind of thing is given to a girl. Okay, now as long as the girl has a good relationship with the whoever gave it to them, then that item has value. As soon as they don't, or there's an inimical relationship, she won't use that pen. The man will still use it because it's a good pen. You know, the guy's a jerk, but the pen's great. You understand? Does that make sense? So here, valuable means relationship, endeavor, all those different things. Right? So if women are talking about the value of something, that's actually the point of it. Right? The words may not sound like that, but that's the intent. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we're dealing with a lot more here. So that's what's being brought out. But in relation to Krishna, right? Yes? Okay. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to 1.10.30, "The devotees of the Lord are purified souls. As soon as the devotees surrender under the lotus feet of the Lord sincerely, the Lord accepts them, and thus the devotees at once become free from all material contaminations. Such devotees are above the three modes of material nature. There is no bodily disqualification of a devotee, just as there is no qualitative difference between the Ganges water and the filthy drain water when they are amalgamated. Women, merchants, and laborers are not very intelligent, and thus it is very difficult for them to understand the science of God or to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. They are more materialistic, and less than them are the Kiratas, Hunas, Andras, Palindas, Pulkashas, Abhiras, Kankas, Yavanas, Kashas, etc. Holy, horrible man. We got not even just a general mention, right? You know, we got a very specific mention. Like that. But all of them can be delivered if they are properly engaged in devotional service of the Lord. By engagement in the service of the Lord, the designated disqualifications are removed. And as pure souls, they become eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. Right? So in other words, for the devotional service, there is no problem. Whatever the background, whatever is happening, it doesn't have an effect. But it means that now taking up devotional service, you're engaged in devotional service. That's why it has no effect. Right? What we were discussing earlier in the class is that the conditioning of that background, then if we continue to identify with it, it gets in the way of our engagement in pure devotional service. That's the weakness of coming from these kind of backgrounds. Yes. But it's not that the background itself actually can have an effect on the performance of devotional service. Yes.
So are you talking about that there's a period of time between the time that the lady decides to surrender and the period of time that it takes for the Lord to give him the realization that he's not the controller and enjoyer, and therefore make everything compatible, the mentality and surrender?
No, the point is the Lord reciprocates with the devotee, so as you surrender, he reciprocates. So that gap is, you're the one who generates the gap. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I just need to figure out how that applies.
No, see, the point is that the gap is created by us, right? Oh. It's not that God has to mind the gap. We're the one that has to mind it, right? Yes? No?
Yes.
Yeah. So the point is that we surrender to the Lord, but there's elements that we don't surrender, then how he's going to reciprocate with that. Does that make sense? The fallen girls under the clutches of Balmasura sincerely played to Lord Sri Krishna for their deliverance, and their sincerity of purpose made them at once pure by virtue of devotion. Right? So now he's applying this here. The Lord therefore accepted them as his wives, and thus their lives became glorified. Such auspicious glorification was still more glorified when the Lord played with them as the most devoted husband. Right? So it's not just that he accepted them, but then he would interact with them. Right? So it's one thing, okay, formally he accepted them because no one else would accept them, and so therefore he's very merciful to them, but then, you know, he's very formal and distant. But no, he's not. Such auspicious glorification was still more glorified when the Lord played with them as the most devoted husband. The Lord used to live with his 16,108 wives constantly. He expanded himself into 16,108 preliminary portions, and each and every one of them was the Lord himself. without deviation from the original personality. Right? This is that when they make the difference in, like when Krishna expands with the rasa dance, it's the same personality. Right? He just expands so he can be with everybody. Or there's the other kind where he expands and it's a different personality, like Balaram. Right? Or Nrisimhadev, like this. Because they'll consider themselves servant of the Lord. But here, it's just he's expanding, so they're each dealing with the same Krishna and Dwarka. It's like in the rasa dance, right? In other words, it's the same principle, like that. So each queen is with. The Shruti Manta affirms that the Lord can expand himself into many. As husband of so many wives, he pleased them all with presentations, even at a costly endeavor. He brought the Parijata plant from heaven and implanted it at the palace of Satyabhama, one of the principal queens. If therefore anyone desires the Lord to become one's husband, the Lord fulfills such desires in full. Right? So in full mean all the various aspects that he's working hard and doing. Like he's going out to, you know, do his work. Satyabhama wants to come with him. Like that, you know, see what he does, you know. Okay, you know, so then he takes her along. Then while he's going out, then she sees the Parijata tree. Well, that would be nice in her courtyard. So that, you know, there's a whole war over this, but he's willing to do it for her. So it's not as much that the thing is nice, it's that the endeavor, the mood in which that endeavor to get it, that's what's important, that's what's valuable. So that's, it's not Satyabhama has a Parijata in her courtyard. No other, you know, queen on earth can claim that. It's that Krishna made the endeavor to get it because, you know, to please her, that she has the special. You understand? It's not about the tree, but the tree indicates all that.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
That's the whole point. As we mentioned it before, if someone's upset, it's not about the thing. So here is that then the other queens are mentioning about it, that valuable gifts, right? So then, you know, the Parijata, you don't get a whole lot more valuable than that around here, you know?
Right.
Yes.
Even though those relationships seem to be very special, but what's the proof that they're not mundane?
The Lord's involved. The Lord isn't involved in anything mundane.
It's only because the Lord is there. That's the proof that...
That's there, but also that it's in Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam's not going to deal with anything mundane. It's not about mundane rasa. So, that it's in the Bhagavatam, it's spoken by Sukadev, you know, these kind of things, these are also the aspects. That's why it's been... That's why the Tattva Siddharva is establishing the position of Bhagavatam. Then, having established that, then you can understand whatever's said there, then is of value. So,
Maharaj,
yes.
You mentioned that in Bhishma Deva's prayers, we see the Sambandha aspect of the honorable rasa. And here the queens are making their prayers. Is that a progression in presentation of the
object? Naturally, it can be. Because it says this is the first time this is introduced. But unless the position is understood and how to view it, in other words, you talk about the gopis did this, gopis did that, and some new thing, and then someone reads in some other book that no one's heard from and tells those stories, and wow, that's great, and, you know, that's it's nice. But the point is Bhishma is bringing out, it's the interaction based on love that's important. It's not so much what's going on. It's that going on is indicative of that relationship that the Lord has with the devotee. That's what's special. You know, therefore he mentions about he's carrying the whip in his right hand and the reins in his left. Means, you know, he's taking seriously. He's not just kind of sitting back with his legs crossed and kind of holding on to things, you know, filing his nails or something, you know. Like that. You know, he's doing something, right? Right. So that whole thing is very, very focused, right? That he's doing what's nice and will work out well for Arjuna. So it's actually what he's relishing is that relationship, and these are the mediums through which it's expressed. Though, therefore, you can. describe those. You can't describe what you're feeling from. You know, that's been pointed out. So, therefore, we get the indications of this, but we're supposed to look at it from this viewpoint rather than look at it from facility. Does that make sense? Yeah. In order to appreciate these intimate dealings between the Lord, in other words, valuable means that it has the relationship value. Because, let's say, now what happens if Krishna wanted to give a parijata tree to another queen? Would that be a value?
No.
No, because Satyabhama already has one.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not a value. Right? Does that make sense? Because if each queen is unique, she has to have unique gifts. That's what's of value. Right? Now, how do you get a unique gift for 16,108 queens? That takes brains. Therefore, he is God. No one else could do. That's another proof. Another
proof. Personal shoppers?
Huh?
Personal shoppers?
I don't know if you could find 16,108 that wouldn't come up with the same gift also.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because either they've learned on their own by looking at what goes on and people do, or they've gone to some kind of school and then learned there, and so they give you categories. And so, you know, as long as they don't bump into each other. But here's 16,108 where they can interface.
Yes.
You know, and so then it's natural that they might find out what's in here and what's in there. So you got to be good.
All right. I heard that the flowers in such a moment, but the smell is coming from another queen's room.
Maybe. Like that. But we won't bring that up too loudly. Otherwise, the tree will have to be moved. And I think, you know. In other words, Satyabhama picked the spot. Don't worry. You know, Krishna may have indicated, well, we can do here, there, and this one will do this, that one will do that, I'll take this one. Right? But at the same time, it's maybe the smell goes to Rukmini, but Rukmini doesn't talk about it. Otherwise, the tree will move. So, I wouldn't bring those things up too much. Those are dangerous topics. You know what I'm saying? Right, so it says fulfill such desires in full. It means it's complete. It's not just partially done, right? It's complete. Yes.
Does the wives of Krishna know that they are co-wives or?
Of course. There were 16,000 of them all living together, and they all prayed to Krishna. He accepted them all. Co-wives, no co-wives, but it's just you're supposed to arrange it so they don't necessarily, very without endeavor, don't know what's going on. Like I said, this one king, all the queen's quarters were there, and his was on a higher place. And they all had their rooms into the other parts of the palace, but they each had private rooms on the top. Right? And so he had his own guards up there. No one could be on the roof. That means the queens can't send their own spies up there. And then he would go from his quarters and go down into one of the queens. So none of the other queens knew where he was. You know, that he's with another queen, that's fine. He has other wives. That he's with this queen, now that's a problem. You understand? Unless they work it out. If they've worked it out, you know, Monday this one, Tuesday that one, like this, that's okay. But the problem is there's 8 queens 7 days in a week. Right? So it doesn't exactly work out. You know. So you know what I'm saying? You have all these dynamics. It's very, very complicated when people talk about, yeah, more than one wife. Yeah, but they don't know what we're talking about. They haven't figured out what's one wife yet. We're still waiting for that, yeah. So like that. But it had to be good. It had to also be that there is the public aspect, as we were reading from Mano, when the king... No, that's not Mano. No, it's not Mano. It's Vatsyayana. When the king goes into the inner quarters, there's a formal setting where all the queens are there. He has to be able to glorify each queen in front of the other queens in such a way that it's unique to them that they'll be pleased and the other queens will think it's okay. Right? That, you know, and that's every day. And you can't say the same thing, you know, too many times. Right? So therefore, you know, who can do this but a king? You understand? There's a lot more going on then. So Krishna does that perfectly. Like that. That makes sense. In order to appreciate these most intimate dealings between the Lord and his advanced devotees, one must understand Krishna's position as the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the ladies of Hastinapura open their prayers by detailing Krishna's potency in creating, maintaining, and annihilating the universe. If one has some Sambandha Gyan, he will not mistake Krishna's intimate pastimes for material lust. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport to 1.10.28, the kissing of the Lord, either by his wives or his young girlfriends, who aspire to have the Lord as their fiancé, is not of any mundane perverted quality. Had such things been mundane, a liberated soul like Sukadeva would not have taken the trouble to relish them, nor would Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have been inclined to participate in those subjects after renouncing worldly life. The stage is earned after many lives of penance. Verses 31 to 36. The Lord accepts the prayers and leaves Hastinapur for Dwarka. Sutta Goswami continued. Right? So even the ladies know, you start with that, establish his position so it's understood what kind of rasa it is. Just like, let's say, we want to talk about somebody, right? We're talking some good juicy gossip here, okay? Now, to do that, now let's say you want to bring out something bad, right? Some bad gossip. Now, what do you have to first establish? Now, it's going to be, this gossip is about someone. What's the first thing to establish?
The opposition.
Means the opposition, but what about the opposition?
Their position.
Their position, right? Another, yeah, that's the opposition. Yeah, the opposition. That's what gossip is about. This is political maneuvering. You know, all the man thinks it's just a waste of time. No, this is power.
Hybrid gossip. Huh? Hybrid gossip.
Yeah, no, high power. Yes. Yeah. No, so the thing is, therefore, you have to point out how bad they are. Then when you understand the level, then the gossip has some meaning. Then you can get the taste. Otherwise, if they're not so bad and then something happens, or if they're good and then something, then you tend to, it changes the flavor of the nature of the gossip. Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay. So, therefore, then, because they're talking about the Lord, they have to establish the position of the Lord. Having established it, then they can talk about all the rasa and everything. So you know it's transcendental. Because their devotees, they don't want to talk about mundane stuff either. Right? So then it's... Yes? You know?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Sutta Goswami continued. While the ladies of the capital, Hastinapura, were greeting him and talking in this way, the Lord, smiling, accepted their good feelings, and casting the grace of his glance over them, he departed from the city. Footnote 19. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, by his glances he pleased the women who had Shantarati, and by his smiles, he pleased those with Madhurya Bhav. So he's dealing with both. So these are, that's why you need the acharyas to comment. Otherwise, we may catch a few things, but we're not going to necessarily catch these things, right? You know, so. Right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right, and accepted their good feelings. It's not about, like you hear... Others, then they accepted their prayers and things like that. But here it's their good feelings, because that's what it's about. This is their experience, their feelings about the Lord. Right? Maharaj Yudhishthira, although no one's enemy, engaged four divisions of defense, horse, elephant, chariot, and army, to accompany Lord Krishna, the enemy of the Asuras, demons. The Maharaj did this because of the enemy, and also out of affection for the Lord. But so he has no enemy, but it's not that he doesn't keep. Mm-hmm. It's not that people aren't inimical by nature. You're in the material world.
Yes.
And then at the same time, as Krishna, he's the enemy of the demons. Right? And so the enemy of the demons means demons could come and bother. So therefore he sent his armies. Right? Yeah.
Yes.
So he's done that because of that situation, but in the background is because of, how do you say? affection, right? So as a king taking care of another king, then he does like this.
Maharaj?
Yes.
I read somewhere that there was a quote, but I don't remember exactly how it goes, but it was something like, the devotee has no enemies, but people pose as his enemies? Something like that?
I have no idea.
Okay, so is this the same thing, though? Like, having no enemies means...
Means no enemies means you do not see anyone as an enemy. That means having no enemies.
But there are people still playing the part of your enemy.
There's other people who may have inimical feelings towards you. That's their thing. But when you say ajatasatru, means no one has been born as your enemy, you don't see anyone as an enemy.
But you would recognize that they've got ill feelings towards you.
Therefore, an army. You can recognize that they have ill feelings towards you, but that doesn't mean that you have necessarily ill feelings towards them. No, but the point is, it's not that you don't deal appropriately. If somebody is dealing badly, you counter that with what's appropriate, but that's why you have shastra. Because if we're working on sentiment, you're not going to get this. The Western culture does not have this kind of culture. The reason that it's so difficult to understand is because this is real human culture. We're used to animal culture. You know, somebody does something, then they're an enemy. But here it's that, no, they may be inimical, so therefore you deal with that. But it's not that they have to become your enemy for you to deal with them, you know, to counter their inimical dealings.
Is it possible that instead of sending an army, you could look at it as, oh, this is my Krishna person, me to tolerate the tolerance or something?
No, we just take it as the acharyas give it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, the point is as a king, and he's his guest, so he'll take care, because it doesn't say that Krishna's there with his own army. Because we see he came before with his own army, but then they went back. Right? Or some of them stayed, and I think then Balaram went back with the army. So Krishna himself just stayed. Right? So now, that means he's a king, there should be an entourage. And not only that, the demons are always, you know, they're inimical to Krishna. Krishna reciprocates, so therefore he'll deal in that way.
I'm just trying to figure out whether this applies to us, like everyone.
Of course it does. But the point is how are you going to be, have no enemy? That means you have to forgive. You know what I'm saying? So it means the principle of trust is viable. You understand? Now, but according to how someone behaves is how you deal with them. If they're more trustworthy, you deal that way. They're less trustworthy, you deal that way. But the principle of trust is still stands. It's not because one has had bad experiences, there's no trust, and so therefore you can't function on that. That's mundane. You know, and mundane means technically even... You know, not standard. The standard is you still deal properly. Like it says, if an enemy comes to your place, they should not feel that they're an enemy. It doesn't mean that you open yourself up to make yourself vulnerable. It just means you take care of them with all proper etiquette and everything. Because one is by doing that, they might see, well, the guy's a nice guy anyway, so why am I feeling so bad about him? Or maybe later on they'll reflect back and, oh, you know, and then they'll start to put together and, okay, they're a nice person. And from the other part is, no matter whether they're an enemy or not, they're still part and parcel of Krishna.
Yeah.
So you still have to deal nicely.
Yeah, I understand those, but is there some sort of like a place in the scriptures where it describes in detail this kind of thing? Is there?
Here's one of them.
Okay, so
what do you mean by detail?
It's not one section.
It's not going to say on Thursday morning, then if your lifelong enemy, you know, comes, you know, knocking on your door, having turned left up the sidewalk instead of right, then you do this. But if you turned right and gone up to your sidewalk, then you say that. You may not. You might find some places.
Is there one full section of... instead of just different pieces of...
Yeah. Called Artha Shastra. It's called Dharma Shastra. It's called Niti Shastra. Okay? Because those give the laws, but then the problem is the laws get overwhelming. Because the laws are any situation that could come up, they're dealt with. But whether you'll run into that in your lifetime, you may not. You know what I'm saying?
There's a big amount of information.
It's a big amount of information on everything. So the point is then it's a matter, well, how do I apply this? So that's why the Purana is important, because it shows how it's applied. So then drop by drop you get these things, and then you learn them. But if you can work from the scientific point, then great. If you can work from science back into art, then those sections are good. But if you can't do that, then they won't do you any good. You just pick out the ones that freak you out and then think about those. You know, like that. You know, somebody steals something, you cut off fingers. That means whenever I've discussed mono in general, that's the only thing I hear about. I've never heard about anything else. You know, unless it's something you can get, you know, some benefit you can get, you know. Okay. But otherwise, it says, you know, that you don't hear about anything else. You don't hear about the qualities required. You don't hear about the duties. You don't hear about that it's in connection with the Lord. You don't hear none of those. They go through, and then what rules are freaky to them, that they pick out. Yeah, okay. The Maharaj did this because of the enemy and also out of affection for the Lord. So it's as a king he's doing it, but also as a friend he's doing it. So both are there. Srila Prabhupada reveals the sweetness of these loving exchanges in his purport to verse 32. If required, Lord Krishna himself was sufficient to defend himself from the attack of others who counted the Lord as their enemy. But still he accepted all the arrangements made by Maharaj Yudhishthira because he could not disobey the king, who was his elder cousin, right? Because he wanted to send all this. Because he's the junior, so he has to take care. Mm-hmm. So then it's accepted. Because right? Otherwise, the Lord on his own can take care of them. Yes. Not only the Lord on his own, the Lord not on his own, just his material energy will take care of them. Right? You know, the guy can choke on a peanut before coming out of his tent or something. You know, it's happened. I mean, if you look back on these big, powerful, you know, personalities, how did they actually die? Right? Mm. And many of them are not in very special ways.
Diabetes.
Yeah, diabetes, you know, too much horse urine, you know, all kinds of things, you know, like that, you know. Just like that, you know. I mean, like that, choke on a peanut, I think one of them did something like that, you know. So all these kind of things, that's it. No. Mama Cass, it was a ham sandwich or something. You know, it's just how it works. It's just right. You know, it's the material nature. So Krishna doesn't even have to do it himself, right? Let alone himself. Then, you know, so the army, he's accepting it only out of affection, like that.
Right.
Yes.
When he came from Dwarka to Hastinapur, he was with his own army.
Yes, but that's prestige. That's just kings travel with armies. You don't go out yourself.
But the army was killed, I think, in the battlefield. Krishna's army was...
Oh, this is after. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm thinking of the time before.
Yes.
I'm thinking of the time before. Right, Indraprastha. No, but the point is Dwarka is that it's unlimited. The personal bodyguard. Personal bodyguards. That means that's the cream of the cream, right? Of the bodyguards. There's 10 trillion of them for Ugrasena. That's his personal ones. Right? You know, so then, you know, there's plenty in Dwarka. You don't have to worry. You know, it's not a problem. I think Krishna's army was 1 million. But I think only an Akshahini went to the battle. That's his, right? He's one king, right? Then all the other kings, Balarama had his army, everybody else has their army, so, you know, it's the spiritual world, because otherwise how does that fit in that size? Everybody fits, no problem, you know? I mean, even if you want to, it's just that sometimes people say, how can you put so many people? Because there's no space. It's like, okay, take a Western house, how many people live in it?
four
people, right? And that's happening, right?
So, you know, busy.
That's the standard, right? You know, we're being, you know, how you say, cliched here, you know, mother, father, you know, son, daughter, yes. Right? You know, the whole before. Okay, now let's say the devotees rent that house and use it as a temple. How many devotees live in it? 30. That's a small temple. But yeah, 30, 50, 60. So how does that do? You know, how does that work? That's devotees, you know. That's what we were saying. The Orientals, they'll definitely have 15 to 20 in there. Yeah. It's standard, you know. Four, who says, you know, four, this doesn't apply. 15 to 20, that's standard. You know, so we'll do double that. Right? The Prabhupada always said double it, right? Yeah. So, we did, right? You know, so they can't figure out understand how that many people could live in one place.
I went with Tapa Varda to Madhurya Dweep, and we went to see the Shiva temple. And it's like, it's a small place. And sometimes on Parikram, you have like 1,000 devotees there, and you're looking at it, how does that work? They just don't fit when you just come by there like 2 devotees, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just such a small place, but it kind of somehow or another, yeah.
Yeah, works. Everybody fits.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Asian spacing. Okay. Okay, here we are. The Lord plays the part of a subordinate in his transcendental sporting, and thus sometimes he puts himself in the care of Jashoda Mata for his protection in his so-called helplessness of childhood. That is the transcendental lila, or pastime of the Lord. The basic principle, that's why I said he plays, you know, in his playing with the queens. Right? And he says that's his pastime. He plays as the perfect husband. The basic principle for all transcendental exchanges between the Lord and his devotees is exhibited to enjoy a transcendental bliss for which there is no comparison, even up to the level of Brahmananda. Right? That's pointed out so that we don't think just getting out of the material is enough.
Yeah.
You understand? That's why this point's made. Yes.
Maharaj, so the Krishna being covered by, well, only in Gosha Vrindavan by Maya, when he even forgets that he is God?
No, I mean, it's there. It's just to that degree of how much is there. In Vaikuntha, they're always reminding you it's God. Because the taste is in that forgetfulness. Yeah? Yeah. Out of profound affection for Lord Krishna, the Pandavas, who were of the Kuru dynasty, accompanied him a considerable distance to see him off. They were overwhelmed with the thought of future separation. So that means them personally going along with them. So the army is there. They're going to go all the way to Dwarka. But this is just, they personally go for some distance. Right? So in other words, just seeing the person at the door, then that's considered proper etiquette. Taking 7 steps with them past the door, that's considered a friend. Now here, going some considerable distance, then how much more, right, is the friendship? How much of the affection? They are overwhelmed with the thought of future separation. Because yeah, that is, you're walking, you're with the Lord, yes. Then whenever you stop, that's when the separation, so you just keep walking. Right? The Lord, however, persuaded them to return home. Right? Otherwise, they probably would have walked to Dwarka. Yeah. Right? And he proceeded towards Dwarka with his dear companions. O Shaunaka, the Lord then proceeded towards Kuru Jungala, Panchala, Surasena, the land on the bank of the river Jamuna, Brahmavarta, Kurukshetra, Matsya, Saraswata, the province of the desert, and the land of scant water. After crossing these provinces, he gradually reached the Sauvira and Abhira provinces. Then, west of these, reached Dwarka at last. Okay. 33 to 35. So that means in his continuing. So basically, he went from there, he went west and then went down.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. In his purport to 110.35, Srila Prabhupada makes an interesting observation. The provinces passed over by the Lord in those days were differently named, but the direction given is sufficient to indicate that he traveled through Delhi, Punjab, Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Saurashtra in Gujarat, and at last reached his home province in Dwarka. We do not gain any profit simply by researching the analogous provinces of those days up to now, but it appears that the desert of Rajasthan and the provinces of scanty water like Madhya Pradesh were present even 5,000 years ago. The theory of soil experts that the desert developed in recent years is not supported by the statements of the Bhagavatam. We may leave the matter for expert geologists to research, because the changing universe has different phases of historical development. We are satisfied that the Lord has now reached his own province, Dwarka Dham, from the Kuru provinces. Kurukshetra continues to exist since the Vedic age, and it is sheer foolishness when interpreters ignore or deny the existence of Kurukshetra. So in other words, he's gone through these. They also have different names at different times. But his point is it's pointing out that these things are there. That's the way it is. And, you know, those who are extra can study these things, but how it changes, just as the desert can come, it could have gone.
Yes.
And then come back. You know, it's just, it doesn't matter. The point is the Lord went from the Pandava's place to his place safely, so we're happy.
Yes.
Right? It doesn't matter, you know, if he stopped at which one he stopped at to get petrol, right? Did he stop at Shell? Did he stop at a Gip? Was there an Abasa? You know, these things, it's not really important. You know, did he use the bathroom? You know, like that. No.
Did he wash his feet?
Yes, did he wash his feet? On his journey through these provinces, he was welcomed, worshipped, and given various presentations. Right? In the evening, in all places, the Lord suspended his journey to perform evening rites. This was regularly observed after sunset. Right? So there was no rush. So they're going up until the evening. So they'll get up in the morning, your morning rituals and all. Then they will travel during the day. Then in the evening they'll stop, you know, perform their various evening rites. But as he goes, he's welcomed and worshipped. So that can also mean how they go through. Right? Because nowadays you drive from here to there. But where does the road go? You know, they make a hole through the mountain, they make a bridge over the chasm that's there. All these different things. And otherwise, before, you went from here and around and up and down and all like that just to get to this place that's over there. You know, so therefore, it goes up and around and that. You go. You need rivers, you need water. You know, you're going with an army. So you need to have facilities. So you go where people are staying, where there is that kind of facility. And in this way, then you'll make it there. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, the places are not listed in proper sequence. The state situated on the road from Hastinapur to Dwarka also worshipped him. The Lord was offered gifts by the devotees living in all those places as he proceeded on the road in order to bring him to their place. Right? So then, to fulfill their desires, he went to all these places, one after the other, and after staying a few days in each place, continued on the road. He arrived at Dwarka in the afternoon. At that time, the sun had entered the water of the Western Ocean. Does that make sense? Yeah, like that. And then by poetics, it didn't actually go into the water. Right?
Just, yeah.
Hmm?
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, the problem is it goes into the water, then it's got to swim around to the other side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so here are the questions, revision questions, essay questions, and then chapter 11. But the time is high. Hello. We'll do that quick. Okay. What do we have here? This is 1 to 13. Okay. Okay, so that's it.
It is 1 to 13. But Akadashi.
Yes.
And Gita Jayanti.
Yes.
So therefore, if the opening of the class is a little bit in the mood of the, how do you say, Kurukshetra kind of setting, so that.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki.
Jai
Chaitanya Gaura.
Hare Hare.